about the need for professionalism, organization in what we do with regard to the Bible conference. And we are about 6 weeks away from that, and certain committee leaders are going to be contacting many of you for your services during that particular event. There are quite a number of things that go on. There are four categories of the conference, by the way, and there are quite a number of people working in each, but it all comes together to do one thing. And over the last nine conferences, we have received a five-star rating, and I'm sure we will again this year. But we always have been able to pull together as a unit and as a local church to provide the environment for learning that is necessary. And the way that that is done consistently is the fact that we seek to do this professionally and in an organized manner. And that, in a way, introduces our study for the second session. We concluded with this comment that the Scripture is clear, that God is not the author of confusion, but that confusion is the result of creature failure and its ramifications. Now, I want to go back and make sure you understand why we're going into this section of the study. We have been establishing several concepts from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The fact that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe and that He created all things. And that He is a perfect creator, the rock. He is perfect in all of His work. And the creation of the universe is the work of Christ. And it was perfect. And He did it all in a moment of time. And so the universe itself was a perfect creation by Christ. Now, we know that it had to be perfect, not only from what we've just discussed in the first session, but the fact that God is not the author of confusion. Therefore, the idea that this chart here may be of a help. This shows creation, chaos, and restoration. It shows this dotted line here as the beginning of time at the creation in Genesis 1:1. And then our chart goes on to distinguish between Genesis 1:2 and Genesis 1:1. In the first verse, we have a perfect universe, and the angels were in harmony with God. And in the second verse, we have the fall of Lucifer, which precipitated a trial at Bar and the shutting down of the universe during that time. Therefore, when you get to verse 3, you have to restore the earth for habitation by new witnesses. And we've established all of that. But now, if God is perfect, then His creation has to be perfect. Yet there is a theology out there, as well as a science, that says that it was all chaos in the beginning. That when God created the universe, it was chaotic. It had no form. It was tohu wa bohu. And therefore, God had to come in and prepare it for habitation by mankind. Now, note the logic here. God has the power to create the universe in chaos, and then He takes the time to come in and get rid of the chaos beginning in verse 3. And you think, well, if He has the power to create it out of chaos, and then He has the time and the power to come in verse 3 and structure it for habitation, why didn't He just take care of that in the beginning? Why this stage procedure, running the stages? And therefore, we've established that in Genesis 1:1, it was created perfect by a perfect God in a moment of time. And the reason that it could not have been created chaotic is that God is not the God of confusion. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 14, the first phrase of verse 33, simply says that. God is not a God of confusion. And if that's true, those of us who follow Him through faith alone in Christ alone, and then subsequent to that through Bible study and seeking to be His servant, we cannot be in any way sons of confusion. We're sons of God. Therefore, God is not a God of confusion. His sons, that includes you ladies, the children of God, should not be children of confusion. So point 9. The word for confusion is a noun. Akatastasia. A-K-A-T-A-S-T-A-S-I-A. Akatastasia. Akatastasia. And its various definitions come together to describe the disorder that results from creature failure. If God is not the God of confusion, and there's confusion, who begins the confusion? It is creature failure that brings about confusion. And therefore, that's one of its definitions. It includes the concept that creature failure is this is the origin of this concept, and it is not a part of divine essence. Now, here are some helpful definitions. I'm going to four sources for you. And we'll go first of all to the Analytical Greek Lexicon, page 12. And here is a derivative of akatastasia. This one looks like this. K-A-T-H-I-S-T-A-M-A-I. Kathistamai. And kathistamai means to be in a fixed and tranquil state. Now you'll note that akatastasia has an alpha privative that we'll note in a moment. And katastasia is really the word to which an alpha privative has been put in front. So that becomes very important when we go to the root word, the derivative, kathistamai. It means to be in a fixed and tranquil state. An environment created by a perfect God would be fixed and tranquil. But when the alpha privative is added as a prefix, it transforms the word to akatastasia, an unsettled state, disorder, tumult, and sedition. This word here is the root word, kathistamai. And when you put an alpha privative up front, of course we change the form so we have a different spelling here, akatastasia, that transforms it from a fixed and tranquil state to an unsettled state. Disorder, tumult, sedition. God is not a God of akatastasia. He's not a God of that. He is a God of kathistamai, fixed and tranquil. And please note, there are four words here that are going to pop up in these definitions that are very interesting, and we'll note it. Note that one of the definitions to akatastasia is sedition. That's disorder. That's confusion. Arndt and Gingrich, A Greek-English Lexicon, page 30. Akatastasia, disturbance, disorder, unruliness, insurrection. These definitions give us the clue that what brings about disorder is rebellion. Rebellion against the established order of a thing. Order is where there is harmony. Order is where there is cooperation. Order is where things work as a unit. There is to be order in the church. There can't be backbiting and backstabbing and gossiping and maligning and judging. There has to be problem-solving devices whereby people come together in conflict and resolve their issues on a biblical level. And if that doesn't occur, then a house divided against itself cannot stand. And when it does occur, there is discord among the brethren, and that church's effectiveness in the angelic conflict is tragically damaged, and it may not survive. And that is why there must be harmony within the body. And if there is not harmony in the body, then there is sedition and insurrection somewhere within the body. This is brought out in medicine. The body works as a unit. Everything coordinates with each other so that you have a healthy life and you move forward. When one of the pieces go into rebellion, then it eventually will affect all other parts of the body and you will die because of that particular illness. If your liver goes south, unless you, of course, or Linda Hunt, Woodya Husky. Somehow she defies all of these things. But if your liver goes south, you are in deep trouble. If you wind up with a bad pancreas, as my stepsister-in-law now has, and it is cancerous, for a while there everything else was working okay, but the pancreas is not, and eventually she's going to die, probably within the next few days. So that you have a system set up that is orderly, functional, everything coordinates, then that system will be efficient. And when it is not, it is because something within the system has gone awry, gang after glay. And it says here that one of the things within a system that causes it to go awry is insurrection. Disorder occurs because of rebellion against the established order of a thing. And this is reiterated by the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Volume 3, under kathistomai. And then underneath, so I'm trying to show you that it's all the same word, like pistis and pistuo are the same word, but translated faith and believe. And this is from the same word group. Kathistomai has to do with order. It has to do with a fixed and tranquil state. But when the alpha privative is put in front of it, akatastasia, it results in the exact opposite. And so underneath we have akatastasia, disorder, unrest, political turmoil, revolution, disruption of the peace of the community by means of disputes. Does this remind you of anybody? I'm not speaking of anybody here. Lucifer. Everything was orderly. See, I've got it right here. I think I used the word harmony. Perfect universe, angelic harmony with God. What happened to the order? What happened to the organization and the harmony? The rapport, the esprit. What happened to that? Well, I've tried my best to go back and drill it into your souls that Jesus Christ is a perfect God. I showed you the verse. There are others. And that whatever He creates has to be perfect. And that the universe was created as a perfect thing. There's no other way around that. So what happened that it's now in chaos? All the theologians agree Genesis 1-2 is chaos. It's not order. They then assert, many do, that God created it that way, and I'm telling you that cannot be. So where does the disorder come from? It comes from sedition, insurrection, and revolution. By whom? Lucifer and the fallen angels. So I'll give these again from Kittle. Disorder, unrest, political turmoil. Revolution, disruption of the peace of the community by means of disputes. And then finally, W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, akatastasia. It means instability. It denotes a state of disorder, disturbance, confusion, and tumult. And in James 3:16, it refers to revolution or anarchy. Now listen to me. What are four words that have popped up in our four sources that give a clue as to what brings about disorder? Sedition, insurrection, revolution, anarchy. That's the key. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not a God of confusion. And I'm going to show you from verses like that that wherever there is confusion, it is the result of sedition, insurrection, revolution, and anarchy within the system. It's not part of God's essence. Point 10. And we can go to our passage in 1 Corinthians and see that creatures are to operate under a divine mandate to pursue order, not disorder. So within that same context, move down to verse 40. 1 Corinthians 14:40. This is from the New American Standard. Let all things, interestingly, the word there is panta, let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. Point one. This mandate refers to what God declares to be acceptable behavior on the part of His creatures. You just can't behave like you want to. But to be a good servant for Christ, believe me, you can behave like you want to. I know that. Sometimes I behave like I want to. If we all behave like we want to all the time, we would be lowlifes. And, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what we all are. Lowlifes. And don't you ever forget it. For if you act like you want to act, you're a lowlife. Now what is it that raises you above this? It's the Word of God. People without the Word of God don't stand a chance unless they had real good parents who understood establishment, and they can stay organized to some degree. But it depends on the sinful nature. And I'm just telling you that you ain't worth a bucket of warm spit without the Word of God circulating in your stream of consciousness to elevate you above the mundane, to elevate you above the lust patterns of your sinful nature, to elevate you above the slavery you're in to your sinful nature. You cannot control your body because it is the tyrant. The only way to do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith alone in Christ alone, the inculcation of the Word of God, and the application of it. So, the mandate refers to what God declares to be acceptable behavior on the part of His creatures. I might add that the context here has to do with the local church, but the application can be to any organization. Now, in so doing, God gives us a glimpse of divine modus operandi regarding all of His actions. If He tells us that all things are to be done properly and in an orderly manner, then I assure you He does things properly and in an orderly manner. For what? For what reason? God's not the God of confusion. Seven verses up. Point two. The word all things is an old friend now, panta. Does He mean everything? Yes. Yes. Same word used in Colossians 1, 16 and 17 to identify the totality of our Lord's creative acts in Genesis 1, 1. Now, are you to do things properly and in an orderly manner as a believer in Jesus Christ? Answer is yes. Now, what does that include? Everything. This is how businesses succeed, by the way. You get people who do things properly in an orderly manner with integrity. And integrity comes into this. This New American Standard deal don't quite clear things up. We will do that. But the bottom line here is integrity. That's how it gets done. And where do you get true integrity from? Standards from the eternal Logos circulating in your soul that become the guide for daily thought, decision, and action. That's where integrity comes from. And without integrity, you cannot be organized. You think you are, but you're not. Consequently, three, we are to do all things in a fashion that seeks to imitate our Lord's policy. Obviously, we can't be perfect, but we can do what we do in a proper and orderly manner. And a lot of people do what they want to do, and when they get caught at it, they say, well, I'm just human. No one's perfect. Why can't we just forget about it and move on? I've gotten to where I loathe that term. I'm human. Everybody makes mistakes. Why don't we just forget about it and move on? The implication being, since I've made a mistake and I'm a human and all humans make mistakes, it don't matter. So don't bother me with it. I'm moving on. And then there are people who cloud the issue by saying they've taken it up with God. And sometimes it takes weeks and months for a person to get right with God, and sometimes it just takes a weekend. So it depends on how fast you can orient and adjust, you see. I am of the opinion that you correct your problems on a dime, in a moment, through confession alone to God alone. You can be better in a moment. You don't have to go to therapy. You don't have to go to some kind of hold your hand, tell others what most frustrated you during the week kind of session. You don't have to do that. You tell it to God. God, I did this. I'm a lowlife. And I enjoyed it when I did it, and I may do it again. But I flat did it this time. And I know it was wrong, it was a sin, and I confess it to you. And I don't have to give you the details. And I don't have to go in front of the church. Someone mentioned to me recently about a passage in James that had to do with coming down and telling everybody their sins. Good Lord. You talk about sedition, insurrection. There was a story I heard, and this is true, that somebody got that verse going around, which is improperly translated. It has nothing to do with it. And everybody was wanting to come down in front of the church and confess their sins. And one guy slapped his forehead and said, I can't live with myself any longer. And he came down front and told it all, and he didn't leave anything out. Told about how he knew certain deacons' wives in the biblical sense. Now, do you think harmony resulted from this? Do we have cooperation in the body at this point? So if you have failed, and you have, and it involves sin, confess it privately to God. Now, you can move on in your spiritual life at that point, but you might not be able to move on in your civic life. You need to understand the difference, and others need to get this. You can get right with God through rebound, but you can't get right in your civic life if you go out there and behave in fashions that are in opposition to how God would have you live. And if you're in a position of power and authority, and you become involved in behavior patterns that violate these basic standards, you can get right with God, but you've blown it with regard to your duty as a citizen. You have a lot of work to do in that area. You have to demonstrate over a period of time your behavior patterns have changed. You can't do that over the weekend. And therefore, your authority has been damaged in whatever position you hold. And you ladies, you young ladies, there's one thing you need to keep in mind. Once you lose your reputation, you can't get it back. That is the most important thing to you at your age, is your integrity. And you let other people adjust. So that has to do with doing all things in a proper and orderly manner. Get in the system. Obey the rules. I understand that people freak out when I use the word obey. So I'll try to rephrase that. You should try to learn to obey the rules. Obey. It's a multisyllabic word, I know. Look it up. The rules that are revealed in Scripture on how you're to behave. You can't just say, I am human and I make mistakes. Everybody does it. So why don't we forget about it and move on? Tell that to the police officer. Tell it to the judge. They're not going to listen. Oh, I'm right with Jesus. And they'll say, well, we're proud for you. But you have a right to remain silent. We're all to do all things in a fashion that seeks to imitate our Lord's policy. Obviously, we can't be perfect, but we can do what we do in a proper and orderly manner. Four, the word proper is euskemanos. New American Standard properly. I don't know what yours says there. But here's the way it looks. Euskemonos. Euskemanos. And refers to behavior patterns that reflect favorably toward others. behavior patterns that reflect favorably toward others. This is more than a mere matter of appearance. Some people can put on a show. Some people are good actors. That's why you can't trust actors, by the way. They can be planning to cut your throat, but make you believe they're the finest person on earth because they know how to act like a nice guy. They may have played a part where your part here is to play a nice guy, you know, Mr. Simon Pure. And they play the part. They do it perfectly. You think that they're as righteous as the driven snow. But then on the other hand, like that guy that's popular, I forget his name, Anthony Hopkins, they handed him a script and says, you're going to play a real doozy here. You're going to be Hannibal. And he says, okay, I can be Hannibal. And he goes and eats people for breakfast. And he can be a nice guy, or he can eat people. Who is he? If you dealt with him personally, who are you dealing with? A cannibal or a preacher? Which? That's a bad example. A cannibal or some nice guy? Some people can act. Some people can convince you that they are really nice people while they are setting you up to eat your lunch, if not you personally. So this eukaimonos, doesn't mean a show. It doesn't mean just an appearance. This is emphasized by Romans 13, verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day. Behave properly is made up of the adverb eukaimonos. That's the same word right here, plus the aorist active subjunctive of the verb peripateo. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. Now, if I were going to give you a test today, I would ask you to tell me what this word means. It is an old friend. Translated, walk. But we have done our work in its wheel tracks of righteousness. Let us behave properly has to do with behavior patterns that have been facilitated into wheel tracks of righteousness. That's what Romans 13, verse 13 says. Let us have behavior patterns that have been facilitated into wheel tracks of righteousness, as in the day, not the night, not wheel tracks of wickedness, the day. And so you can boil it all down to let us walk honestly with integrity. Point five. The etymology of the adjective form, eukaimon, this is this word right here in the adjective form, E-U-S-C-H-E-M-O-N, eukaimon, is helpful. Let's take a look at that from the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. Under eukaimon, secular Greek uses the word from the time of Euripides. It has the literal meaning to have a good external appearance. That was the original meaning. And then, you know, words change, definitions alter. It is then applied to the whole external and internal conduct and attitude. So it's not just the show, it is a proper motivation in the soul that makes the show real. That's really you. That's your attitude, that's your behavior, those are your standards, that's the way you operate, that's the real you. So this is how we're to understand Paul's statement in 1 Thessalonians 4:12. Which reads this way, behave properly toward outsiders. And we have eukaimonos plus peripateo. Have behavior patterns that are facilitated in the wheel tracks of righteousness toward outsiders. Now this is your attitude based on a stream of consciousness filled with doctrine to which you subscribe for your standards of behavior and action. And when you go out beyond the swinging doors, you are confronting the outsiders. And here in context, it means unbelievers. You're to have a certain behavior pattern in front of unbelievers. 6. Thus the word euskemanos may be defined as behavior that is with dignity and decorum. It is decent, proper, honorable, reputable, of high... and worthy of respect. And you say, well, why? That's a tall order there. You got to be a... You gotta be a prissy person to do this. No, you have to be a person with doctrine. Prissy people can't do this unless they have doctrine. You have prigs. You have prigs. But prigs are driven by self-righteousness, and that therefore is a show. When it is the honest you, when this word is being applied to others, it means it is a part of your thought process. It is a part of your stream of consciousness fed by doctrine. Therefore, it is the word of God that is being reflected out in your behavior patterns. Now, what is it that reflects the plan and the will and the purpose of God with regard to others? It is the integrity of the word of God. Now, when you go back over here to our verses that we've noted, where it says God is not the God of confusion, and then you go out and confuse things by not behaving properly. Let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner, it says. All things. How you behave. Behave properly toward outsiders. Well, how do you do that? With dignity and decorum. You should be a decent person, proper, honorable, reputable. You should be of high standing, worthy of respect. The words that sums up all of these are integrity and professionalism. You need to be a professional Christian. Now you go to work, you've got company policy. You're professional at what you do. You go by the policy. I hope so. What's the policy? Are you going to do things in a certain way? We've got widgets to sell here. But, you know, there's a proper way to sell the widget. You can hold a gun to people's head and say, buy a widget, and they usually buy it. But how can you do it with integrity? Well, you have company policy. First of all, the widgets are going to be the best widgets in the world. And there has to be a policy to make sure that happens. So we're going to buy the best materials. And then we're going to get the people who are trained to put them together. And these people are going to be dealt with fairly. And then we're going to have a sales staff that can go out and tell all of this to people. You'll get a better widget than this. Oh, but yours is more expensive. Yes, but this one has a lifetime guarantee. The other one falls apart on the 91st day. You ever bought one of those things? 90-day guarantee. And midnight plus 1 minute, it falls apart. Sales staff goes out and convinces people, you want a widget that will last, you get this one. And then he goes back and people actually ship that thing out to him. And when they get it, it works and the people are happy. That's plus H here. And they say, you know, I'm going to tell other people about that widget. And if I need more, I'm going back to these guys. Now, who is all this for? The stockholders. Because they invested the money to start with. And if the stock goes up, then when the old boy dies, his wife has income till she dies. That's the importance of stocks. And so this is a stockholder's, the important things here. And the customers, they can't be top man on the totem pole. You can't put customer number one. This system won't work. And what's the motivation? Stockholders, they're the ones that give you the money to do all of this. They're not going to give you but the price of one widget. This guy gives you the price to make them all from now on. And all these people down here, they're working and they're getting paid and they're paying Social Security and Medicare and all the withholding. And that goes into all these funds over here that the government gives away. If these people lose their job, what happens to this? So the people have to be kept in mind that work for you. So stockholders first, then the people who work for you. Then you may get to the customer later on. But if all of this works properly, as it should, the customer will be happy. And not until then. Now that's organization. Now can you do that at your job? And do you think it's important to do it this way? Then I submit to you, there are rules and regulations in the Scripture that give you guidance on how to present yourself to society and to mean it and not be a fake, a smooth artist. Or to go out and act like a south end of a northbound mule. That's not good either. So we have the phrase here, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let's just boil it down to this. Let all things be done professionally. And the word integrity is buried in there. You can't be professional unless you have integrity. And the next phrase is in an orderly manner. And maybe we can get orderly before time runs out. Point 7. The words orderly manner translate the noun toxis. That's T-A-X-I-S. Not Texas, but toxis. And it means a fixed order or an orderly manner, an orderly arrangement or succession. The more detailed definition is found in the New Thayer's Greek-English Lexicon, page 614. A fixed succession observing a fixed time. If you're going to be organized, you have to be on time. I'll do those widgets next week. Client wants them today. Well, I'm tired, I'm busy, blah, blah, blah. I'll do that next week. You'll do it on time. See, that's part of organization. Get a day timer, use your day timer. The post, rank, or position which one holds in civil or other affairs. Now, that's one definition of it. But we're not done. See, toxis can be a position of authority within an organization. And since this position generally depends on one's talents, experience, and resources, toxis therefore becomes equivalent to character and quality. So we have integrity again showing its face. Point 8. The etymology of this word sheds light on its application to the invisible war, as Little and Scott point out in the Greek-English Lexicon, page 1756. They too are noting toxis, this word right here. In the military sense, now Little and Scott go back to original use. The military sense, drawing up in rank or file, order or disposition of an army, battle array, a single rank or line of soldiers, a post or place in a line of battle. In the invisible war, you are a soldier for Christ, and you engage the invisible war on a daily basis, and you've got your 6 feet of ground to defend. The Romans, when they went out, they had their shield and their sword and their helmets if they were in their prime. Later on, they got rid of their helmets because they were too heavy, but that's another story. When they were in their prime, they had the helmets on, they had the breastplates on, had the shield and the sword. And they would march into battle with that 18-inch Makaira. And they would kick heathen butt that were bigger than them, stronger than them, had more people than them. And do you know why? They were organized and they were taught in basic training, you got 6 feet of ground to defend. And as a Christian soldier, you got your 6 feet of ground to defend. And you've got your shield, and you've got your sword, and you've got your helmet, and you've got all of the other assets noted in Ephesians chapter 6 to go out and wage war and to win. And you've got to be organized to do that. And so this brings unto toxis in the concept that you are a soldier and you must fight with integrity and in an organized fashion. So point 9. This verse is a mandate then to get organized. The military origin of the word toxis indicates that each of us, in order to serve the Lord, must consider himself a soldier in the Lord's army. You got to consider yourself a soldier. And there's a place for you in the line of battle. And you have to defend your 6 feet. And it has to be done in an organized fashion. You have to be a professional soldier, and you have to have integrity, and you have to know what the deal is with regard to fighting the invisible war. And that means Bible doctrine. 10. To serve honorably, we must learn from Scripture God's will and purpose for our lives, and then endeavor to comply in an organized manner. Know what the plan is for your life. What does God want you to do? Geographically, He wants you where doctrine is taught. What does He want you to think? He wants you to think Bible doctrine. What does He want you to do? He wants you to execute the mandates in Scripture, be they positive or negative. If you will do those three things, God will lead you to where you need to be in His plan. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. You may not. I was going to go into television. Thank God I'm out of that. I'm where I need to be, only because of doctrine. Only had I never been introduced to doctrine by Ron Adam and Rick Hughes, I would not be here today. I would be flailing about in an industry that is corrupt to its very core. Probably, if not dead from just pure frustration. What about you? What you going to do, some of you young folks? Don't worry about it. Come to Bible class. Study Bible doctrine. Apply what you know on a daily basis. Be a good soldier for Christ. And you will eventually be led by Him to what you need to be doing. And that's the only way to really know what to do. You say, well, I just don't know what He wants to do in my life right now. Well, not your doing, not your business. Maybe if you don't know, don't do anything. Just do what you're doing, whatever that is. Don't change anything until you have direction from Scripture to do differently. I'm selling widgets. I hate selling widgets. What do you think God wants you to do? I don't know. Well, I suggest you continue selling widgets till you figure it out. There's some people who just decide, God doesn't want me to do this. I'm going to quit it. Don't have another job, nothing. God will provide. Some people do that with marriage. I teach a mention, right man, right woman. The last 3 weeks have been hell at home. Well, she must not be my right woman. I know. I'll get a divorce. I like that little girl I see at the bar on the way home. I'll go buy her a scotch and soda. That's what I'll do. I'll do it tonight. And see, wow. What kind of rationale is it? This is trying to get off the train and it going 150 miles an hour. You're going to change your life and you don't know what you're doing. That's not organization. And how do you get organized? Bible doctrine in the soul. And you get that by coming to Bible class. And you start thinking that way. You start making decisions based on that information. And I promise you, God will lead you to where He wants you. And He'll take into consideration your talents and abilities. Don't worry about that. To serve honorably, we must learn from Scripture His will and purpose for our lives and then endeavor to comply in an organized manner. 11, as we do, we are to be motivated by personal integrity and present ourselves in society as people of honor. Integrity is internal. Honor is the expression of integrity to others. And 12, this is the fashion by which we are to strive to emulate the perfection of our Lord, who is the creator of both the universe and our original parents. Corrected translation, 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done professionally and in an organized manner. And on this same subject is James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, and we'll take up that passage on Tuesday evening. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for the power of the Word, the opportunity to study it in an environment of freedom. We thank You for the fact the Holy Spirit is our mentor, and that by paying close attention to Your Word as it is presented, that we have the opportunity to make decisions as to whether we believe it or not. And if we do, the Holy Spirit makes it a part of our inventory of ideas. And then our volition is challenged as to whether or not we're going to alter old behavior patterns and begin afresh with those that are now new. to submit to these as policy in order to become professional and organized in everything that we do. It is our prayer we would be motivated by these things and that it would lead toward reciprocity in our lives so that our advance doctrinally would present us to society not as actors, but as who we really are, good soldiers for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Charis human kai rene, plethunthae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.